welcome, Hoosier Nation, to our 70th episode of The Hoosier Sound, where we are the official podcast of Indiana HQ. Our mission and goal is simple. We want to bring in-depth analysis and coverage for Indiana University sports to as many fans as possible across a multitude of modern platforms. We're recording this edition of The Hoosier Sound on January 8th, 2019, where I am your host, Noah Freeman, and here with me tonight are my usual co-host, Matthew Lukens and Nathan Krishnan. If you want to see us live and participate in the ongoing chat, catch us Tuesday evenings at 8:30 p.m. on our YouTube page or our website. If you miss us for the live broadcast, you can subscribe to our show for free on whatever platform you listen to podcasts, so you can listen on your own time. Check out our Twitter and Facebook at The Hoosier Sound and at Indiana HQ and subscribe. All of our information is in our website, IndianaHQ.com. All right, Hoosier Nation, it is time for some sports talk. On the docket for tonight, we will briefly look back at Illinois and Michigan, but quickly put those games in the rearview mirror and get ready for this Maryland game this coming Friday. But first, right now Matt is having a little technical difficulties and he's going to hop in as soon as he can. So I'm going to leave it over to Nathan. What would be your memorable monologue for this week in IU sports?
Yeah, hey everyone. Thanks for listening. My memorable monologue is going to be about IU men's soccer player Andrew Gutman winning the Herman Trophy as college soccer's best player in the nation. What an honor for Gutman. He was a defender for IU, but this the Herman Trophy that he's won, that's not some sort of Big Ten award. That's the equivalent of the Heisman Trophy for college soccer. I mean, when you think about it like that, it's an incredible accomplishment. It's the first IU player to win it. I'm not sure if anyone has ever won it as an IU soccer player.
They have.
Yep. Now they look at it. Danny O'Rourke last won it in 2004.
2002.
Okay. Well, anyway, Gutman, who is a product of the Chicago Fire Academy and is gaining some interest in Europe, was a fantastic player last year for IU in their run to the college soccer Final Four. And well, what an accomplishment.
Mm-hmm. No, you're right. It was 2004. He's actually also the seventh Hoosier to be named the top player in Division I soccer. So he's obviously had a great career, been able to top it off with getting the Heisman for soccer, basically the Mack Herman Trophy. And just a huge congratulations to him, because if this were basketball or football and an IU player got the Heisman, everyone would be talking about it. I feel like people aren't really talking about it this much. And it also doesn't help that it's a January award, a couple months. It feels like at least a couple months after the soccer season's ended. But just still probably the big, I talked about this on the Hoosier Sound Off, probably the biggest accomplishment for any IU athlete that'll go on for this year or even the next coming years, even if I think only national championships might have to top that. Just kudos to him. And of course, in addition to all of the stuff that Andrew Gutman has done, we need to also give a shout out to the women's basketball team. Had a humongous win this past Sunday, beating number 15 Michigan State 68-64 at home. And this was the first win of a top 15. So Michigan State was 15. So the best win that we've had against a 15th ranked opponent or better in basically 9 years. The last time we had a win against a 15 or better ranked team was in 2010 against Ohio State on January 31st, which they were ranked number 4 in the nation. But of course, the Big Ten women's, you got a couple of those powerhouse teams at the top. Usually Ohio State's up there. Maryland's always up there. And when those teams are usually ranked that high, of course, it's really hard. The women's basketball in college is a little different than men's. The competition is kind of spaced out a little bit. You got a lot of really top-heavy opponents, and then it kind of drops off from there. So it's kind of hard to really compete with a lot of those top teams. It's kind of why you've seen UConn and Notre Dame been able to just do so well the past few years, in the past decade for UConn at least. But Top 15 team, got first also another Big Ten win to keep them undefeated in the Big Ten. 19th consecutive home victory. They had their ninth best attendance in women's basketball history. So really they had this past March, obviously, with the NIT tournament, the best attendance in IU history. Was that best or second best? I don't remember. One of the two. And then the ninth best right now. So the women's team is doing incredible right now. And if it wasn't for just a weird and fluky loss to Grambling State, this women's team would be undefeated. I don't think they're going to stay undefeated, and they're going to lose a few games, I think, the rest of the way, but they're doing just really well. And Terry Morin's really just doing wonders with this team, especially after losing two of the best two of the best women's basketball Hoosiers to ever put on a cream and crimson uniform. So great job to this team, especially players like, if you listen to the Hoosier Sound Off, every time the women win, it's I either say one of three names or any combination with Brenna Wise, Ali Patberg, or Jalen Penn. They always just put the team on their back, double doubles, scoring figures, you name it. They get wins. You should go check out the women's team. Cheap tickets, obviously free for students and staff. Go check them out. They're going to be really good. Right, first time they're being ranked in forever. They don't get to be ranked a lot. Ranked at 25, and just not enough good things to say about this past weekend with Andrew Gutman and Michigan State. Usually we won't talk about the memorable monologue for this long, but I think it's definitely deserved, definitely warranted, because these are huge accomplishments for both of those programs.
Yeah, absolutely, Noah. And, you know, you talked about the attendance. I mean, 6,800 people were at the game on Sunday, and there was a picture tweeted out by the Indiana Women's Basketball Twitter account that looks like, you know, it was jam-packed. The atmosphere was awesome, just from the pictures and the videos that I've seen. And like you said, this got them into the top 25, which is always sort of a hallmark moment for a college basketball team that, you know, every season you want to be ranked in that top 25. And thanks to getting put at number 25, IU is actually one of 10 colleges around America that has both a men's and women's basketball team ranked in the top 25 in the AP poll, which, you know, it's a feather in the cap to both Archie Miller and Terry Morin.
Yeah, exactly. Especially two pretty new, obviously Terry Morin's been there just a couple years longer, but two relatively new coaches, relatively younger coaches, that just the future is bright for Indiana basketball, and it's great to see all of that. And you also, I mentioned the competition, you mentioned the competition, and again, it's really hard to get ranked in the women's team, because really, if you're not a powerhouse team, these AP poll writers don't want to put you in. That's the reason why this women's team hasn't even already, like, they've received votes the last 5 weeks, but they've only received literally four or five votes, regardless of their undefeated and one loss record. So it's really hard for them to break that. And once I think they've broken it, which they have, they gotten in the top 25, they're just sky's the limit for them. What else did you want to say?
I just want everyone to sort of circle the date on their calendars. It's January 27th. It's going to be a Sunday noon tip off at Assembly Hall. The women are going to take on Maryland. Maryland is the elite basketball program in the Big Ten right now. If you're not doing anything, I would absolutely consider going. And even if you are doing something, try to maybe move it around and go to that game, because it's going to be unreal.
Oh, yeah. And they even had, I don't remember even where they advertised this, but I saw later that three buses full were sold out really quickly to bus all the way up to West Lafayette, that they had buses to go to the Purdue game, which is awesome as well. But let's move on to some men's basketball. We could probably talk about those this past weekend for those two people in a whole podcast itself. But we're going to briefly cover Illinois and Michigan, like I said. And I mean briefly, just to give a couple quick thoughts, because they're now in the past, for better or for worse. But then we've got a big matchup on Friday against Maryland, which I think is going to be somewhat of a pivotal game, which we can talk about in a little bit. And then we do have Nebraska next Monday before our next episode. So we're going to just talk a little bit about that. But first, the Illinois game. First game of 2019, Hoosiers held off Illinois 73-65. Of course, Illinois had that end of the game run to try and make Hoosier fans just a little nervous by the end. But what were your overall impressions for our first game of the 2019 year?
Yeah, you mentioned though they had that run to make it kind of interesting at the end, but you know Illinois did jump out to a lead in the first half, and it was at that point where we saw, I think, some real growth and development in star freshman Romeo Langford. The main takeaway from that game, if you ask me, was Langford showing some more assertiveness, some more selfishness, in all honesty. In a game where, you know, certain things weren't exactly working, the big guys were kind of struggling inside, IU obviously didn't have the services of Rob Finnessy for either the Illinois game or the Michigan game. It looked like Langford took it upon himself, especially when IU was trailing in the first half, to kind of put the team on his shoulders, and he scored 28. He was recognized for that effort as the Big Ten recognized him for that effort. And IU recorded an important win to start this stretch of Big Ten games. I know they played a couple back in December, but this win made them 3-0 in the conference play.
Yeah. And you mentioned Romeo again getting rewarded for all of that with, was that his, yeah, that was his career hard game with 28 points. He also played 37 minutes, which is pretty big, which I guess it's definitely something he's used to because he played basically the entire game at New Albany. But big game from him. Juwan Morgan was pretty serviceable, got another double-double with him. We had some good minutes from Justin Smith, which we're going to talk about more in Michigan, but I think Justin Smith is starting to come around, at least with his specific role within the offense and the defense. I don't think we're at this year, at least as of now, unless things change, I don't think Justin's going to be this huge high-flying scorer. I think he's going to be more of this defensive guy that's locking down a lot of their big three kind of players, those power forward kind of players. But then you had a little bit of points, like you had Devontae have spurts of good, and then I guess spurts of bad again. I think that's kind of just the narrative that we've seen this year. It's the narrative we've seen the past 2 years with him, and it's probably the narrative we're going to see until he graduates. But Al Durham, again, getting 9 points. Not too many minutes from him because, again, just ups and downs with stuff, which when you look back at the season, I guess the Illinois game, it's kind of what you expect from this team. You have slow starts. At least this slow start was a little different because the offense was scoring. Usually the offense doesn't score. It only scores like 3, 4, 5, 6 points in the first like 5 or 6 minutes. But at least the offense was scoring 14, 15, 16 points in the first 4 or 5 minutes. So it was a start. Of course, that changed against Michigan, which we're going to get to. But we at least see that it's somewhat serviceable, or at least that we see that we can have there might be a light at the end of the tunnel for starting these games. But again, then you just have to look down at the bench because you've got 2 minutes from Demizi, 5 minutes from Duran, 6 minutes from Evan. You had 24 from Zach, but of course he had 0 points again, which is something that he hasn't scored since, I think, the Duke game. So just a lot of the five starters that have kind of had to start recently with Rob Finnessy going out, you've got no one else that's basically able to play. And then it also held over to Michigan. It was the same exact thing. No bench, all starters. So there's not too much more to talk about. I don't think with the Illinois game, they, again, overcame a slow start, got back into it, was able to get into a lead, which is something actually we haven't seen, which is nice for once. Didn't give up the lead. Like you said, it was a key game to get because if you lost, especially at home, lost to Illinois, that's supposed to be the worst or second to worst team in the Big Ten, that'll put you in a really bad spot. But a win is a win. Even if it was only, you feel like it was only 8 points, it was still good. We got it in the books. We got to go on to the next one. And yeah, any last comments about the Illinois game?
No, I think you're right. The one thing I will say is even though the bench did struggle, we do have to remember we're still without, you know, Rob Finnessy. It was his first game. Well, it was the first Big Ten game he didn't play. You know, Race Thompson was out. You know, Jerome Hunter still hasn't played. But, you know, at the same time, while those guys are out, it should serve as an opportunity for someone to step up. And I think we're still looking for that. I mean, you know, there are a couple more opportunities coming up here with Maryland and Nebraska. But, you know, these are all really talented players. The one thing I keep telling myself about IU basketball is that, you know, all these guys are pretty much the best or maybe second best player at their high schools. You know, they've got a lot of ability. You know, it's going to be interesting to see if one of these guys, whether it's Clifton Moore or Evan Fitzner or Demezi Anderson or, you know, someone we haven't talked about yet, find a way to make a difference in the games coming up.
Yeah, and I think this is kind of a good segue into the next game because the bench was a problem, which was kind of just a result of health, which was the same thing for Michigan. Because even in the Illinois game, we had Duran for a couple minutes, but then he had his ankle to where he couldn't even play. And honestly, when I heard, because we didn't get to hear that Duran was out until pretty close to tip-off, so we weren't officially sure that he would be 0%. We all thought he'd be able to put some minutes, which is what we just needed to give Juwan a break, honestly, because that's how limited we are. But when I heard that Duran was out and obviously Rob was still out, I was like, man, that's going to be really hard to beat the number two team in the nation at Michigan. And it really was, of course, that's kind of how we saw it. And I see the injuries a lot. It's easy to put it as an excuse, and I think a lot of people might try and, or at least outsiders might try and just name it as an excuse, and it's like, oh, that's what you talk about every episode or every game, and like that's what everyone talks about, all the media talks about. But I think this time it's a little different because you really can't look past it. With IU football, a lot of the excuse was that it's a young team. They haven't matured yet, a lot of them, and they were, but there were opportunities that team could have won, and I don't think that was more of an excuse than what this health is, because at some point you literally just don't have players that can play. There comes a point where you only have enough scholarship players, and we have 15, 16 players on the team, but all the players down at the bottom of the bench, there's a reason why they aren't even playing when we're so injured. They're almost worse than us trying to gas out our top players when our top players are even at 50% just because they're so tired. So everyone's talked about it. We don't need to drag on it too much. Just, man, even if we get one or two more players healthy, I was listening to, I think it was Crimson Cast, they were talking about they couldn't remember. Of course, we've had like individual injuries that have mattered a lot, but they couldn't remember the last time that we had this many physical number of injuries that has really taken a toll on this IU team. But into Michigan, yeah. Of course. Oh yeah, go for it.
No, I was gonna say you're right. And then to make matters worse, in the Michigan game, Romeo Langford and Juwan Morgan were hit with two fouls each by the first media timeout.
Mm-hmm. Yep, which is what we're getting into. Michigan slow start. Romeo, Juwan, two fouls each. Which, there's two ways you could look at it. You could look at it as they were being a little careless. And they were. They probably could have. They probably could have thought a little better about going into some of those plays, especially Juwan, just because that's a little. That's what's happened to him recently a couple times, and he's owned up to it after the game. He just needs to think about it differently. And then there's the side you could look at it that the refs are just like, why are you penalizing the best players on this team that would actually make it a game for Michigan? And just good job, Big Ten. Basically, if you listen to Crimson Cast, it's just you hear a lot of good job, Big Ten. Way to just take this entire game out. And honestly, they're not wrong. You take out Juwan and Romeo with this IU team, and there's not much of a game for Michigan. And to be honest, I thought when they went out, I thought it was going to be a lot worse than it did. There were a few players that honestly stepped up more than I thought to. Devontae and Al played better than they normally had. They didn't make a lot, but they made a couple baskets to where it wasn't a 25-point game. It was still only a 15-point game. And we just kind of hung on by a thread, and we at least didn't lose it like Duke, because you knew at least after the first 10 or 15 minutes, the game was 100% over. For this game, there was that little sliver of hope, because especially after Juwan and Romeo got got out and they came back in. They didn't get one foul for the rest of the way. And I think they came in 10 or 13 minutes for the half, I mean. They came in 10 or 13 minutes left in the first half. They didn't get a single foul. We made it to the half. And I was just thinking, all right, we got a 15-point deficit. Juwan and Romeo, only two fouls after starting the first 4 minutes with that. So they made it all the way to the end of the half. Juwan struggled a lot at the beginning of the game, but started to find a rhythm. Romeo, of course, just his normal, needs 10 or 15 minutes to get into the game. I was like, okay, we might be able to chip this. And to their credit, they fought to the end. After the first 8 or 10 minutes of the entire game, IU played Michigan, beaten and battered and foul-troubled at their own place for 32 minutes. And they played them right up to the wire. And I think if this was another team, not the number two team in the nation, even if it was the number 15 or 20 team in the nation, I think they could have came back and won it the entire way.
Yeah, no, you're right. And what's crazy to me is that even without Rob Phinisee and with the foul trouble, IU won the second half. And I understand for a lot of fans that means nothing, but IU in a really tough place to win, a place where North Carolina was obliterated, where Purdue had a ton of difficulties, IU showing a little bit, you know, it showed me some toughness. It showed me some, and not that I needed to see it, but it showed me some toughness, and it's a team that did, at the same time, while they did lose the game, they did address a couple of things in a positive manner that I wonder if it can continue going forward. The two things that caught my attention: the free throw shooting. IU, first of all, got to the line 16 times in Ann Arbor, which is pretty, which is impressive. And a little subheading in that is Romeo Langford got there 6 times, and Romeo made all 6 free throws. That's been a bit of a sore spot in his game. He went 6 for 6 in the free throw line. IU overall shot 12 out of 16. From the charity stripe, 75%. You hope that can keep continuing going forward, because back in the early part of the non-conference schedule, we would be happy if IU shot over 60% from the free throw line in some of those games. The second thing that caught my eye was the lack of turnovers, especially the lack of silly turnovers against a really, really good defense. In fact, at various points this year, Michigan's been the best defensive team in the country according to the KenPom ratings. Right now, they sit at number 4 in adjusted defense. The Wolverines are tenacious defensively. They protect the rim. They guard the 3-point line. They get their hands in the passing lanes. Yet, after all that, IU managed to just have 7 turnovers in that entire game. So when you add to the fact that your starting point guard wasn't playing, those are two things that I'm going to keep my eye on in the rest of the Big Ten season and hopefully in the postseason. Was Sunday afternoon in the second half, or Sunday evening in the second half, was that kind of a turning point here for both the free throw shooting as well as the handling of the basketball?
Yeah, and you're completely right, because the title of this episode is Positive Takeaways from Michigan. And yeah, you're right, 7 turnovers, positive takeaway. Free throw shooting got better, positive takeaway. You have to look at, I mentioned Justin Smith in the Illinois game, and I said I mentioned him a little more here. Yeah, he's not scoring a lot, and I don't think he's going to score a lot for this team, even though I think a lot of people might want him to be that third scoring option. But he played 35 minutes. He played a lot of the game, and he was matched up on arguably one of Michigan's best players, Brazdeikis. And Brazdeikis averages, I think it's 18 or 20 points a game. And Justin played him. He played him the whole time that he was there. He got him into a little bit of foul trouble, and he only scored 10 points, Brazdeikis. And I think Justin is starting to get a turning point. It's not what we completely expected, but maybe it wasn't supposed to be. Maybe that wasn't the kind of player he was supposed to be, because everyone kept comparing him to Juwan, trying to have a Juwan-esque breakout year like Juwan did for his junior year. And maybe that's just not the kind of player Justin's going to start being going forward. And he's just honestly finding a great role within this offense and specific defense. So I think we have to start giving him some kudos. I think Assembly Call gave him even the game ball against for one of these games or something. But anyway, Matt has finally been able to jump in. His computer has finally updated. So Matt, what are your thoughts? We've gone through our memorable monologue and the Illinois game. So without hearing any of the Michigan talk, what were your initial reactions from Michigan?
I thought if you had asked me before the season started if we were going to win or lose at Michigan, I would have said lose.
Except for the one podcast that you said win, that you said on record.
But I wanted to do something different than you were, so I'm a little bit of a drastic direction. But that's besides the point. Look, it's going to Michigan. It's going to be a hard game because, you know, playing a top two team on the road is really hard. Ask us what happened when we played number one Duke on the road. And now that we've played the number one and number two teams on the road. So put some respect on that for strength of schedule. But anyways, besides that point, I thought I had a lot of positives that came out of this game, especially the play of Romeo and Juwan for the last 34 minutes. If you take out the first 6 minutes of the game, like the rest of the time, they played like All-American levels against a number two team in their place. And they were the two of the three best players on the court. It was those two and Jordan Poole, and you probably add Carlos Matthews for Michigan as the fourth player, as the top four players. But Juwan and Romeo were the two of the top three. And you can, you know, rank them however you would like in the game. But, you know, Juwan made his presence felt after a slow start, and a slow start for the whole team as a whole. And we only lost by 11 with like 4 points off the bench. Because we got like nothing.
No, zero.
Zero points off the bench. My bad. Not even four. We had 0 points off the bench, and we only lost by 11 at Michigan, which if you had told me we were going to get 0 points off the bench before the game, I was going to say, oh, it's going to be like the Duke game. But that was not the case. It started like the Duke game, didn't end like the Duke game. They finished strong. And you might ask, well, how are we going to fix the bench scoring? And it has nothing to do with guys from the bench stepping up. It's more about guys from the starters going back to the bench. And that's mainly due to injuries. And so if we get our guys back from injury, bench scoring will grow. And also the slow starts probably won't happen as often, because you can interject guys when, okay, Al's cold tonight. Let's take Al out. We'll put Devontae in. So we'll run Devontae and Rob at the same time. And then, oh, Rob's having a bad night, we can put Devontae in. Or Romeo's having an off night, we can put in Zach and Roberts. Like, there's so many things you can do with the lineup when you have guys healthy. Problem is, this IU team is not healthy. And until we get healthy, I think the bench is going to be a bit of a struggle because we just don't have a bench. So.
Yeah. And you even mentioned a lot of the bench stuff, and really we really had a 6-person rotation because we were so injured with Duran having to not being able to play anything that you saw Clifton Moore for 7 minutes. You saw Evan Fitzner in there for technically 10 minutes, but that's another podcast in itself. You saw Evan Fitzner in there, which really didn't do anything. So really it was just the five starters and Zach McRobert. So when you look at it that way, the number two team in the nation, the Hoosiers, with like 5, 6, 7, 8 minutes left, were still within striking distance. What I think it got down to 7 points, I think, was the closest that it got back to after starting out with an abysmal start. 6 players basically playing the entire game. And it wasn't as bad. The ending wasn't as bad as the first 5 or 6 minutes seemed. So, yeah. And I think the obvious poor start is something that's just so big. It's something that Archie and the team is trying to address. It's even just a subpar coach or just a terrible coach. That would be the first thing that they would be trying to address. So that's not something that I don't think, well, we might need to worry about it, but Archie's at least trying something, and he's tinkering, and he's trying to figure out what would be the best way to not start cold. And you can guarantee he's already tried multiple things, and he's just not. This is just something that he has to try 5, 6, 7, 8 things instead of he tweaks it once and then it's fixed. And that's just also part of trying to find who this team is. Do we have any last calls for Michigan before we start moving on to our previews for Maryland and Nebraska?
You touched on it briefly, but I just want to give another shout out to Justin Smith, who had a fantastic game despite what the stats may show. I thought his defense on Brad Stakis, who has as many freshman player of the months as, or player of the week, sorry, as freshman of the week, as Romeo has, and he's the leading scorer on Michigan and held him to 10 points, and 3 of which were a Juwan Morgan fouled him on a 3-point attempt. So he really held him to 7, and, you know, as, you know, number 2 team in the nation's leading scorer, to be held to 7 points by Justin Smith really shows how much of a difference maker he is on that end.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, it was 10 points. But you basically reiterated what I said, that Justin Smith is starting to just turn around, regardless of his scoreboard. He's turning into more. His play on the court is greater than you might see on the box score. If you didn't watch the game. That was. Let's move on to Maryland, though. We've got a pretty big game, and I said this was kind of a pivotal game of the season because it's pretty much our first true road test. And you could say, oh, but we've had Duke and Michigan and Penn State, but it's kind of, you got the top of the top, and Penn State's not the bottom of the bottom, but they're still more closer to the bottom of the Big Ten than the middle of the Big Ten. So we have a team that's very closely around our level. If you look at KenPom, I didn't look at it just now, but we've been the past couple days right next to each other, whether Maryland was one ahead of us or one behind us. AP polls are a little different. The votes for Maryland aren't as big, but you've got a team that's very similar. We're going on the road, which this year hasn't been a normal Maryland crowd, but they might get up for a ranked team this Friday. Especially really the first game back after Friday, the first game after the break against a ranked team. So it's going to be a great atmosphere. You've got a team that is beatable, not necessarily a must win, but as close to almost a must win as you can get. So let me kick it over to you first, Nathan. What are your semi-brief thoughts on this Maryland team? What are we supposed to look out for Maryland if we give just a general generic scouting report for the Terrapins game this Friday?
Yeah, no, I mean, I'm fired up for this one. It's going to be Friday night, and the Xfinity Center is supposed to be I've never been there, but all indications are, you know, when people are at the game and they're, you know, they care about the game, it's one of the toughest and most one of the most excited atmospheres in the conference. The thing that I'm gonna point out here, and this might be a shameless plug, but over on Indiana HQ, Mike did one of our contributors, Mike, did a really good job breaking this game down, and I would recommend everyone who's listening to this to go over to IndianaHQ.com and just read the scouting report, because it's very thorough. And it kind of breaks down who's starting, who the rotation guys are for Maryland, and kind of what to expect. The bottom line is Maryland focuses mostly around, you know, I mean, they have a lot of contributors, but Maryland focuses mostly around Anthony Cowan, Bruno Fernando, and Jalen Smith. Now, I kind of want to focus on the last two guys there, Fernando and Smith. Jalen Smith is an all-freshman Big Ten lock, if you ask me. I mean, this guy is kind of Maryland's, you know, freshman sensation, that Romeo Langford is to IU, Jalen Smith is to Maryland. He and Bruno Fernando are going to be very difficult inside. Maryland is not one of those run-and-gun, three-point shooting teams. You know, they'll take them if they're there, but Fernando, who's this 6'10 athletic big man, and Smith, they're going to ground and pound you inside. In fact, they were couple of guys who were main contributors to Maryland's win. While this podcast is recording, in fact, Maryland has actually just gone on the road and beaten Minnesota by 15 points, in large part due to Fernando, who had another double-double, and Jalen Smith, who had 21 points and 8 rebounds. These two guys are going to be unlike any rebounding tandem that IU sees outside of all those superhumans that we faced against Duke back in November. So what I'm going to be looking forward to in this game is the battle in the paint. We've talked about Justin Smith and the way he's contributed against Illinois and Michigan. He's got to keep this going against the Terrapins because he's one of the taller, more athletic guys on IU's team. He's going to have to either grab rebounds or box guys out, even if it means he scores 0 points the entire game, which obviously is not ideal. But if Justin Smith stays in the game, avoids foul trouble, and puts up a crooked number in the rebounding column, that, I think, is going to be a key factor in whether or not IU wins. And the same is true for big athletic guys like Juwan Morgan and Romeo Langford and maybe even Deron Davis if he's available to play.
Yeah, and I really liked your comment about the atmosphere too, because we've seen Arkansas, Duke, Michigan. And before all of the changes happened with the Big Ten, the Big East, the ACC, all of the movement to where the Big Ten got Rutgers in Maryland, you thought of, when you went to the ACC, you thought of Duke and you thought of Syracuse as two of the best atmospheres, and they really were, but then Maryland was right there next to it. They really do care about their basketball a lot, and that's kind of why you've always had Maryland's been the team that's kind of fit in to the Big Ten a lot more than Rutgers has, just because they're such a basketball heavy school. And I will be there, so I'll be able to give inside coverage, be on the floor beforehand. I'll get to witness the atmosphere itself. Hopefully it's a big one. Check out our Twitter, Indiana HQ, so you can get all those updates, and I'll tell you how full it is, how loud it is, what kind of things people are saying, et cetera, et cetera. Cause, you've got, one of our contributors, Rob, was at the game last time, and he was just on the floor before games. And he was saying like, oh yeah, I just had scouts behind me and I could just hear what they were talking about, saying things about Romeo and Juwan. So like, you get some inside, coverage things, and it's really cool. So, I'm really pumped for the game. I'm excited to be able to go there and witness all that. But Matt, what is your, what are your previews of this Maryland game?
Anthony Cowan, first off, you have to talk about their point guard. He's a nifty little player that he is. He's a really tough defender. He's what I would call a bulldogish defender. He's going to really get up in the grill of whoever's playing point guard for us, whether Fennessy comes back from the longest concussion ever or what seems like the longest concussion ever, but ask Grace Thompson how longest concussion ever actually. Besides the point, side note, I'm glad IU is taking concussion seriously. You know, I've seen people on Twitter be like, you know, these NFL players, they just get up and, you know, they got hit in their head so hard, but you know, they just get up and they're fine. And like, they probably should go get checked out. And if you have a concussion in the NFL, you should probably also go and, you know, get yourself checked out and make sure that you're healthy and whatnot. So I'm glad to see IU taking it somewhat seriously, because concussions aren't just a weak thing. As a person who has, you know, experienced people having concussions, like, they're not the same for like months, and you know, it's a pretty serious deal. But that's besides the point. Anyways, hopefully we get Rob back for this game, because we're definitely going to need him against Cowan, because he's a very talented point guard and is going to give Devontae fits when Devontae plays him. Other than that, Romeo should have a heyday. Their perimeter defenders aren't the greatest. And then also their twin towers with Jalen Smith and Bruno Fernando is going to be quite the test. I mean, we've played big guys before the season. You know, we played Arkansas and Daniel Gafford. We've played Duke and their monstrosities that they've had. But this is just a little something unique that we're not going to see the rest of the year. So it's hard for me. I can't exactly tell at this moment how they're going to play. Again, also, speaking of coming back from injury, Deron Davis is going to be key. If we can get Deron Davis back from injury and be able to match him up against Bruno Fernando in the post, I think that gives us a lot better of a shot than having Juwan stranded out there with the probability that he's going to get in foul trouble like he did against Michigan.
And have no backup. especially.
And have no backup, correct.
Exactly, yeah, because Clifton was his backup against Michigan. So that just shows you how unhealthy we are.
Duron could still be healthy, and I think we'll still see Fitzner play. First off, Fitzner will play in this game, and I'm sure that he will be matched up on Jalen Smith. But secondly, we will definitely see Clifton Moore play this game as well, even if Duron is healthy, because I think we're just going to need forward depth this game just to deal with their two big guys. We're going to need the tallest guys that we can put on the floor, because they're not really going to space the floor, but they're definitely going to bang us in down low. So we're going to need to fix that.
Yeah. Friday, 7 o'clock p.m. FS1. Right now, ESPN has Hoosiers at about a 36% chance to win. KenPom gives the Hoosiers a 38% chance to win. KenPom predicts a loss of 73-70 in Maryland's favor, which I also think all of those stats are really interesting because IU is ranked higher in all of those categories and websites and just data things, and they think that they only give IU a 36% chance to win, which is interesting. But anyway, let's move on to let's head over to, and I'm going to ask both of you just one real quick thought about Nebraska so we can get to our questions and wrap this episode up. But Nebraska will go, so that it'll have a quick turnaround. It'll be next Monday, so when we're recording this podcast, 6 days, a lot of you will hear it 5 days from now, Monday, which will be at 6:30 p.m. FS1 again. They get to come back home after a full week of classes. The beginning of the semester is this week, so you also got to remember that with a lot of these players' mental capacity. But let's start with Matt first. Quick thought on this Nebraska team, how we're going to match up. Right, potentially right now, Nebraska won't be ranked, but we'll see by next Monday.
Nebraska is one of the, five best teams in the league, honestly. They're a super talented team, and they're gonna give us fits. They really are. Their starting five is one of the stronger starting fives in the league. They get scoring from all five guys. Their leader is James Palmer Jr. He's a shooting guard, but I'd hesitate to call him a guard. He's more of a small forward, and he's a senior. And he's been killing it this year. He's a preseason Big Ten first teamer, and there's no surprise that he's playing well at all. They also get a really good contribution from Isaac Copeland. He's a 6'9" forward. Isaiah Roby, a 6'8" forward. They're deep and they're talented, especially in their starting lineup. Now, when it comes to their bench, on the other hand, now that is where, again, I've said this twice this podcast, if we're healthy, we should be able to beat them because of our strength off the bench. I think Evan Fitzner will bring a little bit of a flair off the bench. And yes, Evan hasn't been playing the greatest recently, but he'll be able to stretch the floor against a team that is pretty decent at protecting the rim. So that'll be nice. And then also, Deron Davis will be able to give us that scoring punch that we need in the front court. When Juwan is out. So look in this game for us to hopefully be healthy. And we're back in Assembly Hall, and they're going to really long for it after this Maryland game, going from Michigan to Maryland, then back home. So I expect a really good performance from them on Monday.
Yeah. Anything Matt missed, Nathan?
No, I think Matt was pretty good. I just want to mention two things real quick as far as Nebraska goes. First of all, this is a starter-heavy team. Through four conference games this year, they have five guys averaging 30 minutes or more per game. Those five guys are their starters. So, everyone else plays sparingly. Know these five names. If you're going to the game on Monday, if you're just watching it at home, it's Palmer, Copeland, Roby, Watson, and Allen. Those are the five starters. They're going to play pretty much the entirety of the game. But that also shows the importance of maybe getting one or two of those guys in foul trouble like Michigan did to IU on Sunday. The second thing is Nebraska is not only top-heavy, but those guys that are on the floor, they, like Michigan, don't turn the ball over. Coming into today's college basketball action, Nebraska had the 17th lowest turnover rate in the nation. They turn it over less than one out of every six possessions. So, IU can, if IU can find a way to force a couple turnovers, maybe the Assembly Hall crowd can force a couple of turnovers on Monday night. That will be a pretty big key to victory.
Yep. Let's move on to our listener questions real quick before we wrap up. But I'm going to head this one first to Matt, and then I'll give the second question to Nathan. But first one, Frame by Frame Hoops, what did you see about Michigan's offense that works so well against Indiana?
They really came out of the gates shooting well. Again, I think the pack line defense is if you can shoot it over the pack line defense, you can score. And I'm pretty sure – I don't have the statistics right in front of my face, that Michigan was 15 of 18 from the field to start the game. And there was a bunch of threes made. George Poole made a three. Charles Matthews made a three. Who else made threes on Michigan? And, their point guard was hitting running hook shots in the lane, sky hooks in the lane. But it's just about hitting shots. Michigan hit their shots. We didn't start the game, Our leader, our senior leader, Juwan Morgan, was 1 of 7 from the field to start the game. When is Juwan Morgan 1 of 7 from the field ever? I cannot remember the last time he was 1 of 7 from the field. They hit shots. We didn't. They hit tough shots, and they weren't missing anything. And we just looked really slow on rotations on defense, and that is why Michigan had such an outburst at the beginning of the game. Otherwise, we outscored them. The other 34 minutes, we were +5. We won the game by 5 points. We take out the first 8 minutes.
Yeah, exactly. Chris, what happened to McRobert shooting the ball lately? He's been working all summer on it. He is hesitating to shoot the ball. What is up with him? I'm going to first, before putting over to Nathan, I think a lot of it is just he's still on his injury. I don't think he's really overcome his injury completely yet. He probably is still feeling it. You can tell he's not comfortable. He was never a comfortable guy shooting the ball anyway. So you can tell just that stacked with he's not a very confident guy, that he's literally not even taking shots. So you can tell just I think that's a lot of it, that he's not even taking a shot, that I think that's what is mostly wrong with a lot of his shoots, with the hesitations and everything. Any other thoughts, Nathan?
Well, and to sort of dig into that a little bit more, I mean, his injury was a back injury, and I don't know. I mean, I've never played basketball at the collegiate or NBA level, but I'm not sure I need to know how important your back is when you're shooting a jump shot. It plays as critical of a role as your arm and your elbow when you shoot a three. So the fact of the matter seems to be that McRoberts, back, which, remember, he tried coming back from that injury, and then it sort of, re-aggravated, or he kind of regressed in his recovery. I think right now he's just trying to get back into the flow of things, but as far as doing things like forcing turnovers, I mean, the guy still had four steals against Illinois on Thursday, so, he is still finding a way to contribute in other areas, but I think once he sort of gets back into the flow of things, he'll become a little bit more confident offensively.
Quick last thought, Matt.
Yeah, I think he's at 50 or 60% according to RG. Which, I mean, if he can play at this high level at 50 or 60%, kudos to Zach. But he didn't look himself in the Michigan game at all. You could tell he got crossed over by Jordan Poole once. And if you know Zach McRoberts, that almost never happens to him. So you can tell he's actually hurting. I hope he can take one or two home games off when we play some of the smaller teams in the Big Ten, just to get closer to 100%. He may never be 100% again. We may never see Zach McRoberts at 100%. again, because, you know, back injuries are back injuries. You can ask anybody who's had a back injury, they're impossible to get over. So, you know, it, we can get him closer to 75-80%. I think we'll start seeing him shoot it more, but I, he has no confidence in the shot because he's, you know, not feeling well.
Yeah. You talked about the pool cross up. You could tell as an IU fan, as an outsider fan, you're like, ooh, he really got him. But as an IU fan, that's not Zach. He didn't get crossed over. You could tell he kind of winced as he got crossed over.
He can move vertically fine. He cannot move horizontally as well as he could. You can tell they're changing directions really hard for him, and that's back injury.
Yeah, but that about wraps it up for our 70th show of the Hoosier Sound. Thank you guys so much for joining us. We really appreciate your support. I will be back this Friday for another edition of the Hoosier Sound Off. Make sure to stay tuned through updates on Twitter at The Hoosier Sound, subscribe on YouTube or however you listen to podcasts, and visit our website, thehoosiersound.com, to find all of our information in one place. As always, send us your questions as the audience, so be sure to comment, chat, or send us a message at admin@indianhq.com on what questions you have, and we'll get them on our next episode. Lastly, if you enjoy our show, leave us a review, tell a friend, share our links. Your support really helps us grow this podcast to reach more passionate IU fans such as yourself. But, as always, thank you for listening, Hoosier Nation, and we'll see you next time.